This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost, a great hosting provider for your blog or website. You can find more information at sqpn.com/bluehost. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website, onceuponatime.sqpn.com, before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
Only light magic can harm me, and you're as dark as they come. It was your destiny to be this way. And it will also be your undoing.
Don't tell me what I can be.
I tried to be good once, but it wasn't in the cards. This is who I am, and it's who you are.
You're wrong, sis. What are you doing? Change. How?
I make my own destiny.
It is your density. Still not going back to the future in this episode of Once Upon a Time, but who knows what will happen in the season's finale. Welcome back to the, not the last episode of this podcast, but the one before the finale episode. And we are going to talk about Kansas, which is the lead up to the season's finale. And joining me today to talk about this episode, Inge from the Netherlands and Shelley from all the way from Texas. And I am Father Roderick. I'm from the Netherlands, a very rainy Netherlands, actually. How's the weather in Texas, Shelley?
Well, ironically, a very rainy afternoon here, too.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Which we need. We need the rain very, very much. So we're happy for it.
Good. Excellent. And also, Inge is back on the show to evaluate this episode. And of course, my first question is, what did you think of it? Inge, you are usually the most critical member of our panel. So how would you rate this particular episode?
9.5 out of 10.
Holy cow. There has to... Did you make a choice, a life choice, to use white magic this time to rate the show?
Oh, thanks a lot, Father.
Hey, I'm just a trickster or a flying monkey. But a 9.5 out of 10, that is, I think, the highest
there
rating.
There are a couple of clever things, so... I didn't see the Regina thing coming at all. And I also was thinking, Emma is going to be the savior because she's being called the savior all the time.
Yes.
But she and when it happened, I was like, yeah, I knew it. I should have paid attention because she also broke the second curse by kissing Henry. So it was all in front of me and I failed to connect the dots. And So they caught me, and I like that. So that's
nice.
Why.
Yeah, the show out-clevering the viewers. That's also it's very rewarding and humiliating because we should be the expert. We should see it all coming, but no.
Not yeah, but
episode.
I like to be outsmarted. So,
what about you, Shelley? How would you rate this episode?
10.
10.
Oh,
wow!
It. My favorite episode since the first season, since we started.
This no had kidding.
Everything. And like Inga, I'm not quite sure where in the episode it dawned on me it was going to be Regina, but it was perfect. I mean, the compass, the four witches, the ingredients, it all came together. It was the big reveal to me, and it felt like a finale.
It did,
all the way up until the very, very end, and the twist with Gold. I loved it. I will watch this episode probably 3 or 4 more times.
Yeah. So that made me think that the thing with Gold, but I will go in deeper in it later. When did he switch the dagger? Did he give the real dagger to? Did he kept his real dagger and gave it to Regina
to Belle?
Zelina, when he had to choose between Bay And a dagger, was it a real or a fake one? So that makes me think, you know?
We'll talk about that later. I love this episode as well. It was so much better than anything I expected. And I loved it visually as well. I thought the whole show was beautifully filmed. The special effects were outstanding. Probably one of the best looking episodes of the season, if not of the entire run of the series. I'm such a fan of The Wizard of Oz, and seeing more of Oz and the Yellow Brick Road. Oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this for months, and now it's right there. And I love the way in which they used the elements of the story of The Wizard of Oz and giving it a totally fitting once upon a time kind of metaphoric value, you know, the yellow brick road as the future that lies ahead of you, the opportunities, if only you want to step on it. And beautiful, great, great stuff. Made me look differently to the original story of The Wizard of Oz as well. So that's quite powerful when a TV show can do that. So let's dive into the episode. And the whole thing starts with action. And it picks up where they left us last week, which is, of course, Snow having to deliver the baby. And it has all the classic groaning and moaning of all the suffering that mothers go through in order to put a child on the planet. And it's not going to be a home delivery. She has to be rushed to the hospital, of course. And yeah, I thought it was all very convincing.
You know what creeped me out, or what made me laugh very hard?
Mm-hmm.
The person who helped deliver her baby was her one-night stand in, what was it, season 2, season 1?
Oh, really?
Remember when she had lost her memory and so that was in season 1. And before they knew about their past. So she was seeing David, who was regaining consciousness, he was married. Yeah. So, but then she also saw other guys.
And okay.
So there was one remark that she had seen Dr. Whale, and Emma was like, "Oh."
Okay. Well. I think I conveniently forgot about that whole episode. We see in the meantime, we see Rumpel spinning gold, and you've got that eerie moment where that gold is changed into a golden brain and is placed next to the glowing heart by Zelina. And that's when you know that, oh gosh, her plan is gonna work. She has the elements, and the only thing she needs is this baby. And we still don't know why she needs the baby, but that is revealed in this episode, because the baby is a symbol for something very important. I love the logo with the Emerald City in the background. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Just for that one, you know, glimpse of the Emerald City, I was already totally on board with this episode. And then we go to, at first I was like, when does this take place? We're back in Oz, and Zelina is looking at, through this magical, what is it? Like, it almost looks like the how is that called in Lord of the Rings? The water that shows
Palantir? Mirror?
The mirror of
Galadriel.
She observes how Rumpel is teaching Regina, and she is green with envy. Again, we see the circus poster in the background. I freeze framed it. It's an Omaha circus and freak show with flying monkeys. And I'm not sure if this is a vintage real poster or if it's something that they came up with, but I Googled circus and freak show, and you find lots of posters that look exactly like the one in the background. So it's clearly something that Oz took with him when he ended up in the city, in the Emerald City, and it refers to his background as a trickster, as a circus clown. Well, not a clown, but a circus magician. And then Glenda appears. And this was a big twist as well. I was like, wait a minute, these girls are friends? So, this has to be really a long time ago. And She's glad that that Zelina turned Oz into a monkey because he offered people hope that he couldn't deliver.
So I was like, to me, like part of the Wicked storyline.
But I've almost felt that there was a bit of backstory there, that Glenda had been deceived by Oz or disappointed. What do you think about that?
Well, this is where I'm really sorry Deborah's not here, because she's the one who's read the book or seen the movie or seen the stage production of Wicked. But as I understand it, the two characters, the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch of the North, although in this case Glenda's the South, had been like college roommates or something, and then they came together. What was it Deborah said? They came together to fight against the wizard, and then one of them turned. It was told from a different perspective, point of view.
Zelina, or so she had another other name in Wicked, but she was kind of rebelling against the system, and that's so she was not as much Wicked as rebelling against the system.
Okay. Mm.
So she wanted Glenda. So to team up with her, but that was causing the friction between the both of them.
Oh, interesting. Well, anyway.
But I agree. Yeah. I like the way she said, you know, you want to change your destiny and you can't, but I can give you something you really want.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, what could you possibly give me? And then it's ultimately family, of course. You know, come meet your real sisters. And at that time, I was like, still, who are those real sisters? I didn't get it that it would be the other witches. I didn't see that coming. But it was pretty cool. And then we switch back to present day, and Zelina is like, I'm going to change my destiny. And Rumple is, no, destiny is destiny. You're not going to change it. And Zelina is constantly... she's like, I can fix it. I can change it. And what I loved was that what Rumple then says, so true. You know what? There's one, you might change some things, but the thing you cannot change is who you are. You will remain who you are. And that is a fate you cannot escape. I thought it was perhaps the deepest thing he said in this episode. You cannot, your fate is ultimately who you are. And unless you change who you are, you won't be able to change your fate.
It was absolutely the theme of the entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, you could almost go backwards. The one thing we've said consistently this half season is that the writers have kept their characters true to their character. They've taken a well-developed character and put them in a situation and then watched how the character would respond, whether through growth or through change or through staying the same. But they've always had good, solid characters. And too often you watch a show and the plot drives the character.
Yes.
And they step completely out of it. And that's what this one was so amazing, because she wants so desperately to go back in time and change the past. And this whole episode is that opportunity to change yourself. And Zelina rejects it time and time again. And by the end, we see exactly how far Regina has come.
Yes.
She is redeemed of everything that we love to hate about her in the first. I mean, I think back to that very first and second episode of this whole of this whole show, and I keep picturing Emma chopping down the tree or chopping down the apples or whatever she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, and come, you know, we're gonna play the things my way. And how much these characters have evolved and changed from knowing each other, and even Regina gets it at the end. But here at the beginning, we see Zelina had a chance. She had a chance not to change her destiny, but to change who she is.
Yes.
To choose and make a choice to love and be good.
And it's the kind of thing that
she rejects it.
Again, you meet Zelina, she's introduced, and she's so evil. We've been speculating about this. You know, will there be a moment of conversion for her? Will there be another, you know, a redemption possible? And... well, if you look at the three seasons now of Once Upon a Time, there's always a backstory. There's always a reason why people are evil. And so because it was a deliberate choice, there is also the possibility of another choice that will give you a new future, a second chance. And that is such a fundamental theme of this entire show, and so, I mean, applicable to our lives as well. This is where the show transcends just the storytelling. And I think it talks about certain truths in life. Yes, you know, evil is never a destiny. It is something that you choose, and so there is always hope that you can make a different choice in the future.
And what's interesting too, Father, is that we've seen characters choose both ways.
Yes.
we've seen Korra faced with a choice and make the wrong choice. We've seen Regina. We've seen Emma. We've seen Snow.
Peter Pan.
Even, you know, killing Korra and then coming back and making the choice. You know, that's not who she is. And now we see Xalina and Rumple when we get there and we start. When you say, okay, let's go on that. Rumple making that choice shocked me. That was that was huge for me. Because I thought he was being honest with Belle. And then the end was a complete shock.
We'll talk about his motivations later on.
It's the power what you see is the self-fulfilling prophecy.
True.
Yeah, you're acting in a way. And then and because you want to change things, but you make the choices with yourself, your own prophecy will fulfill itself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also what you see, a hint of that, not to the book with a prophecy. And then Xalina is in her core, very insecure girl, very and very low self-esteem.
Right,
and that's why she so
right.
easily gets jealous.
Well, and she—that is, of course, because of her father and the way she was, her stepfather and the way she was treated as a child. So, yeah, it's pretty dramatic and sad, tragic what happens to her, because ultimately you could say that she is a victim as well. And she's so scarred, and that's always the problem. You know, is the hurt, can it be overcome? Can you make a new choice, or are you just too hurt to do that, and do you need a savior? And so for a slight moment in this episode, I had hopes that after that good conversation between these two sisters, that new chance would be an opportunity for her to turn and start anew. But then, man,
every character has had a bad childhood or a traumatic childhood or something has happened to them in their past. If you think about it, you know, Emma was given up. Henry was given up and adopted. David grew up as a shepherd, didn't know about his brother, his twin, and then, whoops, you know, got yanked away and his mother died. And Snow lost her mother, got kicked out, you know, had her father killed in front of her. I mean, everybody's got a bad childhood. And it's what they chose to do with that pain or that experience that has led them forward.
That's always has been the fabric of fairy tales. It's there's always some kind of a crisis situation or an unloving stepmother, and so many of these fairy tales actually tell stories about broken family situations. And then the only thing that is interesting here is that they constantly peel the onion a little bit more and show you that even this evil stepmother will have reasons to have become evil, to have made these choices. And so if you go back, and that's what you can do in a television series. You cannot do that in a fairy tale, because you need to have, you know, like the bad people and the good people, the heroes and the bad guys. And this show goes beyond the fairy tale in a way and makes it so relatable, because it's stuff that we deal with in our day-to-day lives all the time. You know, how often are we scarred by things that happened when we were little, or, you know, things that life did to us and that also pushes in a certain direction. And what this show constantly tells us is you're not a victim of who you were. You can always reforge your destiny. So it's very much, again, about the central theme of the entire series, which is hope. Fairy tales give people hope. Hope of a happy ending. And the more we advance in this series, the more we realize that ultimately the hope of a happy ending depends on the choices that you make. And of course, the choices that other people make. But it's not just a destiny. It is ultimately the choices you make forge who you are. And that will forge your destiny. The hospital scene was totally what I expected. So everybody is there. They put in place the protection spells, the force fields. Regina is all in red this time.
And Emma's wearing the blue leather jacket.
Yeah. So again, almost a precursor or revealing who will be the true fighter here. It's not Emma, who usually is in red. It's Regina. And she's seems to be ready for it, but she's just as red as Xalina is green. Say again?
I think it was kind of a red herring. Regina being in the red, you expect her to be evil, and Emma always wears the blue when she's the savior.
Oh, I didn't see. I saw it more as a symbol of, you know, who's gonna fight.
No, every time Emma has been in blue, she's been the hero. She's been the good person. And every time that Regina is in red, she's the evil queen.
Well, that's what she tried to. She thinks in the logic of dark magic, so it's appropriate that she's in red because she totally intends to use dark magic to keep Zelina at bay. The only thing is she underestimates the power of her sister, and so in that respect, they look a little bit naive, especially. The company of Robin Hood, who are trying to defend the hospital with bow and arrows. I was like, yeah, right. That's not going to work. We've seen that fail in previous episodes. So anyway, they
did
do what they can.
Did you catch Hook saying that the little royal was on his way?
No, I did not.
He comes up to Emma and says, I heard the little royal was on his way. And my daughters both went, it's a boy? When did they tell us that?
Cool. I did not see that coming. How would he know?
I think he was just using the generic, you know, he over he or she.
Probably. there's a conversation between Emma and Hook that also seems to kind of point ahead at what is going to happen. And Hook is telling Emma, you know, you are afraid of staying here because you see your future here and it's happy and you don't want that. I thought it was a bit of an interesting, also a bit strange conversation. Well, Emma still wants to go back to New York City. Why? Hook wants her to stay and is doing some, like, is playing almost a therapist. But what was the gist of that conversation? I didn't get it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I think that what we're going to talk about at the end here about the reveal in the preview, I think they're setting that up.
Okay, so that Emma and Hook needs to somehow get closer or team up or perhaps. Yeah, and then Hook almost gets drowned by Zelina. That was waterboarding. It's the first on the show. You expect this on 24. But not on Once Upon a Time. I really, for a moment, I thought they're going to kill him. It's going to happen right here. But then the way they pay it off was brilliant, like the mouth to mouth. And I was like, of course, how cool!
Yeah, and I saw that coming.
Really?
They tried to drown him, and then he was lying there. I was like, now she has to kill him.
Oh, really? Oh, my. It's
interesting. Oh, yeah, she had to give a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I mean, I thought the way they did that was brilliant. Because when she faces Zelina and she says, next time send somebody who can kiss or who's going to kiss.
Oh,
and Zelina's like, oh, well, that's not going to be a problem, dearie. And she waves her little dagger and off comes Gold. And Gold's like, I can't stop myself. And so when he goes to drown Hook, I went, oh, well, of course, that's how she's going to have to make a choice.
Yes.
She is going to have to choose to kiss, not kiss, but to put her mouth on Hook's. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's not a kiss. It's the touching of the mouth.
It's the lips, yes. Do you think that Emma realized that was an option or that would happen? I think she just, I thought she was just trying to, you know, revive him and she didn't even think of the spell.
Oh, no, she knew.
Yeah.
Oh,
she made a conscious decision because, yeah. I mean, Zelina even said, Emma has a decision to make to keep her magic or save the man you want. Can't wait to run away from. I really think they're driving us to want Emma and Hook together. Emma keeps
talking
about leaving.
Oh, I totally missed that, but you're right. Yes,
and that,
yes.
You know, she really liked the life that she had that was false.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps saying, the part of you is not the real you. That part of you that was in New York, that's not you.
Yeah.
The part of you and Henry belong here with your family. That's who you really are.
And so
that kind of ties in with the rest of the theme.
What I also loved is her reaction. So he's a little kid, and then she sums up what he needs and what he wants. But Henry is not a little kid anymore. He's his voice is down a few octaves. So he's really becoming a teenager. So he... And also he's looking for apartments in Storybrooke in an analog newspaper.
Hmm. Oh, so, and we saw Archie.
Yes.
Yes.
I loved it.
So there's not much communication. So,
well, isn't this also a mother who doesn't really want to let go of the childhood of her son? It's a bit, you know, she's thinking of some kind of ideal picture of them living happily ever after in New York City. But she won't be able to do that because her son is growing up and he knows the truth. So
yeah,
it's
and
very
he wants to stay in
selfish.
Storybrooke. It's home, yeah, he says.
And have we swapped places now with Emma and Regina entirely? Because before, Henry was with Regina, but he ran away to the city to find Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And now here, they're back, and Emma's the one that wants to run off and get away, put distance back between it.
They're definitely
Henry's the one looking, well, I'm going to be back and forth with Regina, and Mom can't stay at Mary Margaret's place because, you know, mm-hmm. it's going to be crowded with the baby. And she can't sleep in the car, so you know, she's got to have home.
Yeah. It's brilliant how they put things on its head. And I also love that kind of the real life is now presented as the fairy tale life. And fairy tale, that's who you truly are. It's brilliant. It's just great writing. I guess if you would only see this episode and you've never seen any of the other episodes or seasons, it's like, what? This doesn't make sense. But it makes total sense. Then we switch back to the Sisterhood of Witches, which I still think is brilliant.
The Coven.
Yeah, we get two new witches that we've never seen before. And none of them are green. I was expecting like one to be blue or whatever. I probably was thinking more Star Wars aliens than fairy tale witches. But I love that whole kind of round table with those four sisters, and they finally found the one who's going to fulfill the prophecy. Again, such a trope in these stories. There is a prophecy. We've seen that with Henry. We've seen it with Emma. Now we see it with Zelina. And there appears to be a book of records, which almost looks like the original fairy tale book. And it talks about destiny, talks about the future. However, it is, like all prophecies, pretty vague about who is going to fulfill the prophecy. And
this remind okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say this reminded me again of the Chronicles of Prydain with the three witches, the three sorceresses, and then earlier we had the three what was it that we had in Once Upon a Time where we had the three witches and it's like the three fates, you know, the sharing of the eyeball.
Oh.
And the table, mm-hmm. it's a four-pointed star, it's a compass.
Yeah.
And at the very beginning, when Zelina has Rumpel digging the compass pattern into the dirt, and she has a compass in her hand. So
yes.
Clearly, this compass. And then wasn't there a compass that Hook and Emma had to steal from the giant and use to go back to Storybrooke?
And there was also a compass that Hansel and Gretel got, you know, True North.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and a compass, of course, is a symbol of where you want to go, of direction. Which way will you go? It's a moral compass. It's a compass of your life. And so very fitting that they bring that in here and that these witches actually all have chosen the right direction. So it doesn't really matter if you're from the north or from the west or whatever. As long as your moral compass is good, you know, your future will be good. And then
having these four witches represent the four elements or the four, the basic, you know, your basic cardinal directions. It made me think of the four elements.
In a way,
yeah.
Yes.
So, four elements. I don't know if you caught it, but they introduced the north as the one with wisdom. The east was the one representing courage. The south, Glinda, was love.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell her, we brought you here to change your future. You just have to choose to be good. And she's like, well, what's the west?
Yeah.
And it's innocence.
Innocence, yeah. That's crazy.
And it's not, it can be innocence reclaimed.
Yes, that was
and
a beautiful conversation. Mm-hmm, totally. It's innocence reclaimed is perhaps even more powerful, or there's something, yeah.
Just as powerful as innocence born.
Right, right. And then when she said that, I was like, oh, baby, born.
Yeah, but when she was summing it up, I was like, oh, love, heart. Courage, well, mm-hmm. courage, wisdom, brain, innocence, baby. And I was like, shoot, those are the ingredients of the things he was trying to make.
Yeah. Yep.
Because she said together, our abilities are far more powerful than on our own.
Yes.
So it's always a combination of people working together, some sort of a community. When people come together in community,
well,
they are more powerful and more strong.
It's family. She says, you are our sister now. You are family. And it's always the power of family has been such a recurring theme in Once Upon a Time. And it's cool to see that these witches do, even though they don't know each other, but they become family. Because they share that common goal, and it was a beautiful way to kind of they're reforging the story of the Wizard of Oz in a way that I think is more powerful than the original story. It was just so good, and you can see the inner debate in Zelina. She tries to let go. You see that moment where she's looking at Regina and she's like, "Grr." And then she's, I'm over you. And immediately we all think, that's what you think.
Did you recognize the scene?
It was with a horse, right?
It's when Regina had to take the unicorn's heart. It was a turning point for Regina in learning magic, in learning dark magic, to have to take the unicorn's heart and crush it. And she couldn't do it. Remember, Rumpel was disappointed with her, and he refused to teach her anymore. And that's when he went out and got who was that, like Jasmine or somebody? He got somebody else, and I'm going to teach her instead. And Regina got, it's got to be me. You've got to keep going. But she couldn't take that heart from the unicorn and crush it.
Okay.
So why didn't he go back to Zelina? Other than he knew Zelina would kill him. Zelina had just said, I'm over you. I'm going to let go of my past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when they tell her, to be part of our sisterhood, you just have to let go of your past. To be part of our family, you have to let go of your past. That's Regina at the end of this episode. To be part of Henry's family and Emma and Snow and Charming, she has to let go of her past.
Yeah. And truly choose good. So,
the moment she's innocence reborn, then, or reclaimed.
She is
Regina.
Mm-hmm. The way in which they talked about the prophecy and about the, I was like, oh, that's not Zelina. That's going to be someone else. Let's see, where are we? She gets the moment she lets go of her, or seemingly lets go. That's when she is rewarded with the white pendant, which is kind of a transitional moment of initiation where, now from now on, your power is linked to this pendant. It will give you more power, but if you lose it without it, you will be powerless. I'm thinking, okay, that's, of course, going to come back. She loses her green color because she gets rid of the envy. That's beautiful, too, because in fairy tales, your inner state of mind or soul is reflected on the outside. The people who look ugly are ugly on the inside. So that totally makes sense in the fairy tale world. And for a moment, you have hope that she can be good. But at the same time, we know that Zelina in the future is going to be evil. So what happened? What made her turn back?
She's not evil. She's wicked.
Yeah. More than evil. And then we see that in the attack on the hospital. And it's quite a scene. Belle is trying to defend. These are all like threshold guardians. And first is Belle. My true love will vanquish. No. Whoop. And then the archers from
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood are all just.
Aim true for Little John. Yeah. And they go down in like half of a second.
Gone, indeed. And even Regina is like, I'm going to stop you. And it's like, no, you aren't. And it's a bit disappointing because there's like, why is Regina so easily defeated?
Yeah, but that is the point where Emma has kissed Hook. So
yes.
That's just,
Emma
so the protection spell was their magic combined.
Oh,
it doesn't work anymore because Emma lost her.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I missed that. But that totally makes sense. That totally makes sense. And of course, Regina is still trying to use her dark magic. So there, that is no match for the dark magic of the Wicked Witch because she's way darker. Mm-hmm. And then we go back and we switch so much between these two stories. And yet it all makes sense. It all builds up to the finale. This yellow brick road, now that Zelina has been initiated, she's got the white pendant. She's now her true self, part of the sisterhood. Now there's this yellow brick road. Your potential future, and then that future gets dark and you hear the thunder and we get the cyclone and something is in it and it is Dorothy Gale.
Yeah, where's the dog?
And did you notice, crushed, though, that they presented her with the whole West? When Glinda was presenting Zelina, it wasn't, uh-huh, just the road. It was the West, the whole West, okay, a limitless future and potential.
The Wild West.
And then, yeah, and I don't know where the dog was. I was a little disappointed they left Toto out. But
yes.
And here comes Dorothy. She's all wide-eyed, naive innocence. And you're just like, that was perfect, perfect
Dorothy. Very reminiscent of the Dorothy in the movie. It's like, wow, even the clothes kind of work, the shoes, the socks. It was
a little white Peter Pan collar.
Yeah.
She forgot to do a braid in her hair, though.
That would have been nice if they'd done the braid.
Perhaps they couldn't go too close in order for, you know, copyright reasons. That might be why the dog wasn't there. But I don't know. It was, to me, it was, wow, Dorothy. And then immediately, like, the threat that Dorothy poses to Zelina, you know, she didn't crush her with the house, which I expected to happen at one point, but this is much better. She crushes her hopes of being a good witch.
Zelina's smart. She put two and two together pretty quickly. She saw the cyclone.
Yeah.
Dorothy arrived by cyclone. Dorothy's all naive, open, wide-eyed innocence. Glinda's offering to take her back. And Zelina's like, oh, no.
I thought I was the one, but no.
That's it. I'm being rejected, whether it was real or imagined.
And it's all the same. I got to make my usual Star Wars reference here. By the way, I wasn't there last week. Did someone else make a Star Wars reference?
I'm sure
we did.
I still got to listen back to the episode, but thanks again. But I was like, there's not going to be a Star Wars reference. How is this show ever going to work? Anyway, so here's my Star Wars reference. It's about the prophecy about the one who will bring balance to the Force. And if you've seen 4, 5, and 6, you're like, that's Luke Skywalker. And then, well, wait a minute. No, at the end of Return of the Jedi, it turns out it is Darth Vader. And then you see the backstory in prequels and it's like, wow, this, I always thought it was about Luke Skywalker. No, it's about Anakin and his fall from grace and his, you know, redemptive sacrifice. And that here, it's the same thing. Well, we know about a prophecy. It makes sense that it's Zelina, and you totally see the opportunity that she has to be that savior. And then, no, it's Dorothy. And then when Dorothy is out of the picture, perhaps it's yet someone else. I was thinking Emma, and I'm thinking Regina. You know, it's.
I thought Regina was your Darth Vader. Because she stood up to the Emperor to protect Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for her, the motivation for stopping Zelina is Henry. And she says it there at the end. You know, if I had killed Snow, I wouldn't have Henry today.
Yeah.
If I had succeeded in my vengeance, I wouldn't know the greatest love I know.
Yeah, and did you notice that when Robin Hood picked up her heart, that was the moment when she was able to use light magic?
Yes. And there's this whole talk, this preaching that Henry does to Regina. He's like,
I believe in you.
Yeah, I believe in you. And then he says, I know there is good in you. That is a line from Star Wars. That is what Luke Skywalker tells Vader. And it's before the final thing, you know, before the confrontation with the Emperor. It's still when they, you know, are on this platform and you see the AT-AT in the jungle, and then it's like, I know there is good in you. And at that time, Darth Vader doesn't even want to. That's a moment where the armor starts to crack, and he starts to slowly embrace this idea that there might be good in still left in him. And with Regina, it's the same thing. You know, Henry tells her, believes in her, and now she needs to embrace it. So she too has to choose it deliberately. You don't become good by accident. You have to really make it a choice.
Right. And that to me was one of the most powerful moments in the episode, when Emma comes up and she's like, nope, my magic's gone.
Yes.
And they're like, well, there's no hope. I mean, there's just no hope. And Henry's like, nope, it's you, Mom. Regina, you're the one.
Yeah.
But all I have is dark magic. And Emma's like, oh, no. No, because when you kissed Henry, that was light.
Yes.
Well, I don't have my heart. Doesn't matter. You know? And Robin's like, I know you can do it. Everybody tells her.
Yes.
And then that beautiful, beautiful line, once upon a time.
Yes.
You were a villain.
I wrote that down as well. I was like, this is the best line of the season. Once upon a time, you were a villain, but you have changed. I believe in you. Now you have to believe too. It's it's perfect.
That was so tense.
And then Henry says it. I love that. I was like, gosh, I miss, kind of miss Henry this season, or this second part of the season. But you know, he's got a great, great line here.
Remember that time, I forget now which episode, which season, that Henry chose Emma over Regina. They were like at the fountain or something, and they all walked back together, and they're like, let's go get some dinner. And Charming and Snow and Emma walked off, and Henry was like, you know, see you, Regina, see you, Mom, and then ran off with them. And Regina was just left there completely alone. And I think Rumpel made a comment to her at the time. This was the opposite. This was them coming to her, them believing in her. And it was such an evolution of this whole episode. I mean, even going back into Neverland, it was wonderful, the transformation of Regina.
Yes.
It was a beautiful story.
And the whole transformation of Regina is such a nice counterpart to what's happening to Zelina, where you know, she defeats everyone, and there's this horrifying scene where she steals the baby from Snow. Man, and then she's like, it's a boy. Oh, pure, innocent, mine. Isn't that the most horrible thing you can do to a mother, is take away the baby?
And I think she held Emma longer than she held this baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what kills you, is twice. She's gone into labor and delivered twice, and both times she chose to give Emma to Charming, to give her the chance.
Yeah.
To give them their best chance. But if
there's anyone who had the right to avenge this moment, it would have been Snow, not Rumpel. Snow had all the reasons to avenge this on Zelina, because this is just such a horrifying, traumatic experience. And Charming being totally powerless, and
they froze them. They're all frozen. Snow was frozen, you know, with the green. Oh, and that is the cutest baby I think I've ever seen on TV.
Wasn't it?
Awesome. He might even be cuter than William and Kate's baby, the Prince George, over in England.
Now that is.
I will laugh out loud if they name this baby George as well.
They haven't said anything about the name.
No name yet.
Next week.
I
expect
so.
It's going to be meaningful. You know that whatever they name this baby on the show, we're going to have a field day.
Yeah.
Digging up for the baby encyclopedias.
It's going to be Jesus. Or Harry Potter. Or Moses.
I'm guessing Leopold will be in there somewhere.
That's not a good baby name.
Leopold Henry.
We'll see. It's definitely going to be meaningful. But Zelina takes the baby. You're almost home, she tells the baby. It's like, is she going to take the baby with her in the past? Or... crazy, but it's the moment she says, you know, pure innocent, that's where everything fits. And it's like, that's why she needed the baby. It's a symbol for innocence. And we could not know that, because it hadn't been revealed that was the last element that was needed.
Mm-hmm.
But fantastic. Now, we go
back
to the the confrontation. Beautiful moment where Zelina threatens Dorothy, and Dorothy is scared by the fire. She pours water over Zelina and she melts.
You skipped.
What?
She's at the table. Dorothy's at the table with the witches, and she's in
Zelina's. Sure. Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
And Zelina's spying on them from the bushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's laughing. They're getting part of the family. Zelina's going green there on the neck again.
Yes.
And, she says, she accuses Glinda, and she's gone to the Book of Records. So mm-hmm. Zelina's gone behind Glinda's back and looked up in the Book of Records and read the prophecy. And now she knows that there's also a part of it that says she'll make Oz her home until she fulfills her destiny and unseats the greatest evil the realm has ever seen. And she says, that's Dorothy. I'm the greatest evil. And she said, well, you know, fate is a funny thing. You don't know what the prophecy actually means. And that was just like Rumpel.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the way back. Yeah. Only you can shape your destiny. If Rumpel hadn't hit himself in the foot, if he'd gone out and died, he might not have died in battle. But if you believe you're evil, that's what you will become. And it's just like Regina.
But it triggers Zelina's, you know, old wounds is, you see, I am not good. I'm not supposed to be good. It's not my destiny. And so it's this self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Yeah, but
nobody tells her that.
No,
but it's up herself.
But it's totally under
insecurities.
It's understandable. It's understandable. So but I love the moment with the water, and for a moment I was like, she's melting. No, it can't be, because she's alive in the future. So you kind of know that it's going to be a trick. I love the special effect there of the melting. I thought it looked very good.
It was very well done.
Yes.
Yeah, and I also hit myself in the head, because that was kind of a pre-configuration again from what happens later. So she wasn't really melting. She was kind of, that's a trick.
Yeah. How is that?
But remember,
forward?
even the dwarves knew the story of Wizard of Oz, uh-huh, because they said which witch is she?
Yeah.
And they're like, what's the difference? And they're like, well, one you throw water on, the other you drop a house on.
Okay.
And in this case, you know, Zelina didn't have a house dropped on her. That was the Wicked Witch of the East.
Yep.
But she did get the water thrown on her,
mm-hmm,
and it wasn't that it hurt her. It was that she did the whole illusion for Dorothy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and later on, she is shattered as a porcelain statue.
Mm-hmm.
And Rumble walks away, but he doesn't notice that suddenly a green purple smoke comes from the house of the vault. Regina.
Oh, the pendant.
No, but that,
from the pendant is in the vault.
But that's the pendant. So I was thinking, but we're not there yet. But I was like, okay, the moment that Zelina dies, the magic gets released. So it's, you know, it's not really Zelina. I didn't read it as, oh, Zelina has just, you know, faked her death.
I didn't think she faked her death so much as I wondered if Rumple using the dagger to
stab to
kill her, if it was the magic in the dagger, or
she absorbed the magic in the dagger,
or if there was some power in the dagger, him choosing to use it. I can't remember. I just know that if somebody else had killed Rumple with the dagger, then his magic would have transferred into that person.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the significance of using the dagger to kill another person, not yourself?
Yeah, so we can talk about that in the end. Yeah. At the end, but I was thinking that this was put in as a reflection again, or a ripple, mm-hmm, to make us believe that maybe she's not dead after all.
Mm.
Maybe she just lost shape, a little bit like Sauron in Lord of the Rings.
I'm not sure. I did believe that she was killed.
Either way, the portal was opened.
Yeah. Yeah, what I liked is, because the green pendant contains all the green evil magic, and so that is probably enough to effectuate the spell. It might have different consequences than what was originally intended. I liked the fact that she turned into a porcelain statue, because that's, if you've seen the movie, was it not Return to Oz, but the Great and Wonderful Oz.
There's a China doll.
It has a China doll. And that's, I think, that was a visual reference to that. And it might also be part of somehow of the original stories, or I don't know. But it was like, okay, interesting little reference. Let's go to the big confrontation at the barn, where Zelina is activating the spell. Rumple is still powerless. Defends Zelina against the family that arrives and that tries to stop her. And then you get that amazing confrontation between Darth Vader and between Zelina and Regina. But she does the Force grip. This is who you are. It is your destiny. This is so much Darth Vader. You see that Regina is making a choice, and then Zelina's like, what are you doing? I am changing. I make my own destiny, and her hands turn white, and it's awesome.
It was awesome.
It was fantastic. She takes the pendant, and the baby is safe, and it was, wow. It could have ended there, you know. It was so good.
And they all come with their armed with different... hang on a second.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've got echo in your
Yeah, I opened something. Okay, so they all show up. It's Robin, Regina, Charming, Emma, and Hook, right? Yeah. They all show up. Robin's got a crossbow. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with it? Emma, Charming's got a sword.
Yes.
What are you going to do with it? Emma's got a gun, and mm-hmm. Hook has a saber or a cutlass or something that he's... And they all say, you know, basically, Regina, you stay focused. Mm-hmm. Charming, you go get the baby. Robin says, oh, I've got your heart. Cold's like, look, you got to get the dagger as I throw you across the room. You got to get the dagger. I can't help myself. I have no choice. I'm a slave. You know, go get the dagger, you know, as I throw you across the room some more.
Yes.
And again, Selena calls the monkey beautiful one. There's just a significance to that. Hmm. And finally, somebody says, remember, these creatures are our friends.
Which creatures?
We had talked about that last episode when Henry's in the boathouse and they keep shooting and killing all the flying monkeys yeah. coming after them. You know, whoops, there went Aurora. Whoops, there went Philip. Whoops, there went Little John. Whoops, there went Walsh.
True.
You know, do they even stop to think how many of their friends? Oh, there went Sneezy. Have become monkeys. When Regina defeats him, there's Little John.
Right. Right.
So I was just really glad to see them remember that finally.
Yes. And so apparently Oz has also been turned into a monkey temporarily in the past, which is I'm not sure how permanent that is, but it's pretty cool. And that, of course, is a setup so that when Dorothy goes to see Oz, you know, she gets the magic slippers, and I was like, that cannot be Oz, because he's a trickster. He can't do real magic. So you kind of know that it's Selena. So she taps her heels, and she disappears. We all think she's back in Kansas, but now I'm thinking, she's probably dead or something?
No, the Oz gave, Walsh gave Selena the slippers once before.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he gave her the magical items to go to the Enchanted Forest, and then she came back. So that was the trickster to that. You were supposed to think, I believe, that he had reappeared once Selena had been melted. You were supposed to think Oz the Great and Terrible had come back. And I did notice they gave her those slippers are very clearly gold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not silver or ruby. Silver was the book, and Ruby is the movie.
Oh, it's different slippers.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a whole line of slippers in different colors.
Was it?
I want some too.
Well, actually, that was how I think I already told this story. But for the movie, they tried out all sorts of different colored slippers, and then they chose the ruby because it looked best. But they had like all sorts of colors. Mm-hmm. The what I was wondering is Dorothy really just back to Kansas? Was this just a way to get rid of her? Or
I think so.
Are we going to see her back?
Yes. Selena saw her as a threat. And Dorothy wanted to leave the realm. Yeah. So, Selena was like, by all means, go, you know. Okay. So then I'm rid of you.
All right.
And I don't think the prophecy said that she would stay. I thought the prophecy said that,
she
would rid the realm of the greatest evil.
Yeah, but she hasn't. If the prophecy is about Dorothy, eventually she leaves to go. Yeah.
Well, back to the Enchanted Forest She goes back to the Enchanted Forest to confront. Remember, and that's when they're all at the other. Oh my gosh, I'm getting all tangled up. Okay, so when Selena goes back to the Enchanted Forest,
yeah.
Regina's already cast the curse, and they're all in Storybrooke.
Uh-huh.
And then when they all come back, Zelina's there waiting for her in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's waiting for her to take her and go back in past and change the future.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she had to wait for Regina to change that past, or maybe she had to go and collect the ingredients, but she could only cast it wherever, and she didn't mind so much that they cast the spell and put him back in Storybrooke, because she's like, I can do this curse anywhere as long as I have my ingredients.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the details, but she sends Glinda away, and apparently she had banished Glinda. I guess she banished Glinda to the Enchanted Forest too, because Glinda got caught up and came. No, Glinda was in the Enchanted Forest. That's where she was banished.
She was in the north, right? In the snow, mm-hmm. snow country or whatever it was.
Yeah, but isn't that also explained in this episode at one point? So we see that it's not the Oz the Great and the Powerful, it's Selena. And then so Glenda says something to the point of I will try to get rid of you if I know how to get rid of you.
Yeah, and I will find someone else to fulfill the prophecy.
Yeah. So
it's such a line.
Yeah.
Then I'll find someone else as long as I'm in Oz, I'm not gonna stop searching till I find someone who can stop you, and you're like, well, duh. Out of Oz.
She's gone. Right.
Now, you skipped very, very quickly. You skipped where Gold was going to kill Zelina.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Where Gold had his dagger. Gold was said, I'm going to make her pay. And Regina picks the dagger up.
Yeah. And she's like, good magic means no violence or no killing. Heroes don't kill.
Yeah. And that's what Henry had said repeatedly in the very first episode. Henry had always told Emma, you're a hero and heroes don't kill. Heroes. Okay. Make the right choices. And so Regina saying good magic stopped her and good magic doesn't exact vengeance. Mm-hmm. That to me was the ultimate change in Regina, because Regina could have very, very easily just kind of gone, gotcha. Now let me turn my attack dog on you instead. And she didn't.
Mm. Wow.
No. In fact, she gave the dagger to Belle.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave it to her because she knew – well, first she gave it to her to make amends for what she had done to Belle. So, again, we see apology and reconciliation. She makes amends for the evil. And then she also chose Belle because she knew Belle wouldn't abuse his power over Rumple.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I doubt she expected Belle to hand it to him.
Mm-hmm. That was not very smart, actually, to do that. I was like, do you really want to do that? But just before that scene with Gold and Belle, there is still the talk between the sisters at the prison where Regina chooses to give Zelina a second chance, saying, evil wasn't born, it's made, and so is good, so you can create a new destiny. And then she adds, or I'll crush your heart. I was like, you might want to insert a little bit more, like, free choice.
She was kind of grinning when she said it, so I don't think she really meant that.
But
I like the way she said, I think we're very much alike. I'm not killing you because I know why you did it. I know because mom did it to me too. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like not to have the life you wanted, the life you felt you deserved. And Zelina's so not impressed. She's like, oh, boo-hoo. Mm-hmm. What, you had to be queen? Well, hello, did you miss the part where she killed the love of my life? Mother did that so you could be great. She's like, well, I wanted to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But had I killed Snow, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have my son. And you need a second chance.
But I didn't really feel that Zelina was embracing that second chance. She didn't make any move to show that she's changing. And so I was like, okay, what are we going to do now? If she does not want that second chance, how is this Zelina character going to evolve in the finale? And it's like totally not, of course, counting on the fact that Rumple would solve that problem.
Yeah, but you cannot expect Zelina to change because she doesn't have a motivation to change.
That's
Regina
true.
Didn't want to change either until Henry came.
Well, that's why I was a bit disappointed that my prediction didn't come true. I thought the baby is going to save Zelina. She'll see true innocence and that will melt her heart. No.
No. Our results are based on our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And our actions are driven by our beliefs. And our beliefs are formed by our experiences.
Yes.
And Zelina has not had an experience yet to change her belief.
Mm-hmm.
That Regina knows what she's talking about.
Yes.
That Regina had a very similar or worse experience with her family, with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the next two episodes or something in what's coming in the future will effect an experience that can change or begin to change Zelina's beliefs,
mm-hmm.
that in turn will drive new actions and better results. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
So assuming she's not dead.
I don't know. I don't think she's dead. Okay. How many people, when Regina said, I'm going to put this pendant in a safe place, went, oh, gee, duh, you're going to go to the vault where everybody would look for it.
Yes.
Yes. And also I was like, destroy it, destroy it.
Like, no, because destroying it might have destroyed Zelina.
Yes. There are two emotional scenes before the big, killing scene, which is...
Would she have given the pendant back to Zelina if Zelina had made a true amend and really changed? Would she have restored magic to Zelina?
Not immediately, but perhaps ultimately that was her plan. But she knows it's too dangerous. First you need to change, and then you can get your powers back. What did you think of the whole scene between Gold and Belle? And, you know, here's the dagger. Oh, I'll give it back to you. Will you marry me? The dagger functioning basically as a ring.
I loved it.
I thought it was moving.
I believed in it.
But I wanted to believe, and then I was so disappointed that they broke that spell like 2 minutes later. It's like, dude, you cannot give us proposal scene like that and then just show us that he's actually a cold-blooded killer and he deceived Belle.
Nope, because we forgot Gold's true character. What is his character and what is his motivation? His motivation always has been, always will be Bay.
I know, and but get over it.
He
he's
did
dead.
Not get vengeance for Bay. He promised Bay. He made a promise to Bay that he would avenge his death. And so looking back, I could see it. But in the moment, I was totally thinking this was Gold's transformation too.
Yeah.
That Belle had brought out the love in him, that brought out the goodness in him, that he was going to make a true turn of heart, you know, that you trust me. This is me trusting you with all of my heart. That's, Regina did that when she gave her heart to Robin.
Yeah.
But she really meant it.
Yeah. But that's why it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was heartbroken, really. It's like, dude, don't mess it up. Why would you avenge your son who's already dead? What is it going to change in the world? It's not going to accomplish anything.
It would mean him keeping his promise.
I know. Who cares? The person, and he says, like, yeah, what is it? Gold always keeps his promises. It's like, so what? The person you made that promise to is dead. Get over it. Get on with your life.
It's his son.
Yeah, well, whatever. I was like, come on. Didn't you learn anything in these three seasons? You have to choose the right thing to do. And it's like, you're disappointing everyone. Henry, you know, your Belle, it's the biggest treason of the year. And it's I think, a huge step towards, you know, the old Rumpel.
And then the next thing is, what will happen if Belle finds out?
Well, yeah, that's going to be...
Here's a question. Here's a hypothetical for you. What if they wrote this episode... Because remember I said it felt like a finale?
Yeah.
And all the way up until Gold confronted Zelina and said he had the dagger and he was going to kill her for Bay. All the way up to that moment, I kept thinking, well, what on earth are they going to do next week? I mean, they've resolved everything. Mm-hmm. It's all happy. What are they going to do next week? What if they didn't know for certain there was going to be a season 4? I mean, I don't think it's been announced, even though it's a pretty good idea. But what if they didn't know there was a season 4 and they wrote this so that this could serve as a part of the finale and that next week's would have been a one episode or a two episode that wraps everybody up and gives them a happy ending, and that would have been the series finale.
Could very well be.
Leaving it open, I mean, we're talking a 3-minute segment here at the most.
Yeah.
This confrontation changed everything. Changed it, set it up for the next 2-hour finale, has got us speculating where are they going in season 4, if they're going somewhere in season 4.
They must have been greenlit, otherwise they would have never set it up this way. You can't make Rumpel make such an impactful decision and then try to resolve it in a finale episode. I don't think that's going to happen.
But if they had canceled the series,
proposing
they could have let the next 2 episodes be the finale where they tie everything up in a pretty little bow and say what happened to them.
They must have a plan for that. Anyway, it's terrible. I like the fortunately we get at least one good scene where with the reunion with the baby at the hospital, and I love the line of Charming, I think, was Henry, meet your new uncle. Like, oh yeah.
It's weird. I thought that was sweet.
It was sweet. Yeah.
And they all had a smile.
It was a beautiful
scene. They were
all
smiling, and Hook was just kind of looking on, the outsider.
Yep. Yeah,
But oh, my favorite little moment of acting is Alina and the way she changed when Gold said, "I have the dagger." When she's like, "You can't kill me. You know, you can sit there and talk to me all you want, blah, blah, blah." And the minute he said, "But she doesn't," and he showed her, and Zelina's like, "Oh."
Deer in the headlights.
She was, I mean, it was beautifully acted. The actress is
She's
really, really good.
awesome. And she's also like, "Oh, but I'm vulnerable. I can't defend. I have no magic anymore." So it's also, Rumple is this is a horrible, horrible thing to do because she's killing someone who cannot defend herself. And
Rumple never breaks a deal. Never breaks a
yeah.
deal.
Well, she
It's
should
true to
have.
character. It's true to the series. It's true to everything they've written in
I
the past.
know, but Regina has been redeemed. She's become a hero, so I kind of wanted Gold as well, and but no.
Maybe he gets a new chance.
Well, I guess you need at least someone to be evil now that Selena is dead. You know, it couldn't be Selena because she's been evil for this season, so they needed to wrap that up. I understand. Just like they got rid of Peter Pan, they needed to get rid of the Wicked Witch to move forward. But and then, you know, so in a way, it's very fitting that Gold becomes evil again because Regina is too good to return. I don't think she's gonna be evil. She might use her experience and powers in the future, but for good. So yeah, Gold is a staple of this whole thing. I mean, he is the evil hero of the series.
And he's more dangerous now because everybody thinks he's good,
Yeah.
but he is not. So what will happen if they kind of discover that Zelina is not anymore in the prison? So that needs to be explained, right? So if she's
Well,
nowhere.
yeah, I think that's probably
Pretty
something
sure they're going to address that
they'll
next
deal
episode.
with that probably in the first 2 minutes. It's usually they don't waste too much time on those kind of revelations. It's what is Gold going to do? What, you know, he didn't of course have a plan of so once I killed her, what am I going to do next? He just killed her out of rage, out of spite.
Vengeance. Yeah, so I
Vengeance.
read on the internet that there was a theory that Gold killing Selena was a final ingredient of the curse, of the spell that opens the portal.
Oh, perhaps.
Ooh, a fifth element.
Yeah.
The fifth
Like the movie The
element.
Fifth Element,
A
although that's the
vengeance.
ultimate good one, but
Multipass. Multipass. Oh, sorry.
So there's a fifth element would be a vengeance.
Vengeance. Which,
Corbin Dallas.
but you need.
But that doesn't fit with wisdom and love and
Right.
courage and
Right.
innocence.
It's almost like there is a like evil is released because it's the green smoke, so it's all that evil that used to be part of. So in a way, I guess Selena has died redeemed because she didn't have her evil power anymore. She wasn't green, so
That's not redeemed because she didn't make any
I
true
know
remorse.
she'll be in purgatory. I mean, she's not totally evil anymore. There is still hope for
No,
her in the afterlife.
Cora had a better, Cora had a more redeeming moment in her death than Zelina at the end. Cora receiving her heart and gasping with the first time she's ever looked at her child with love, saying, "This would have been enough." That was a much more redeeming moment.
I kind of think, sorry, it's been a long day. I kind of think that if this truly is the end of Zelina, it is a bit disappointing for the actress to have such a, you know, it's kind of an honorless death.
Anti-climax.
Yeah,
Well,
but
I can't go onto IMDb while we're talking because that's what keeps messing up my audio. But
okay.
I was going to look and see if Zelina appears in the list of cast for the next finale episode.
I can quickly look that up. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up this episode as usual with a preview of the finale. And I know that some of you want to stay totally unspoiled, so I want to thank you again for listening to this episode. And please come back, of course, for our discussion of the 2-hour finale. It's going to be epic. We hope to gather most of the team together. So it might take a little bit longer than usual to put this episode together, but stay subscribed to the feed. And of course, since we are almost sure that we will get another season, I hope that you will stay subscribed to this podcast and you keep enjoying it. We definitely enjoy recording this every week for you and the interaction with our listeners. And of course, already kind of giving you a preview of what we're going to do once we've wrapped up the discussions of the third season. There will be more fairy tale stuff. There will be more Disney in the future. So again, that's another reason to stay in touch with us and don't abandon us once the final episode has aired. But please come back for our discussion and also to get an announcement of the other things that you can expect from SQPN that will probably totally match your enjoyment of this particular podcast and particular series. So I'm here on IMDb. I am taking a look at the listing for, where are we now? Kansas, and then the next two episodes. One is called Snowdrifts, and then also the final one is There Is No Place Like Home. And I am looking at the list.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Where is that a reference to something?
It's Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz, the movie.
Okay.
When Judy Garland is closing her eyes and she's clicking her heels three times and she says, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. And then she's in bed and she's waking from the dream and she's murmuring, there's no place like home.
I totally did not remember that. Unfortunately, on IMDb, there is only a very partial cast listing. So
darn, they're on to us.
Yes. Let me just click on this one. No, it just lists Robert Carlyle as Gold, Josh as David, Emily as Belle, credit only. Jennifer as Mary Margaret, Jennifer as Emma, Colin as Captain Hook, and Lana Parilla as Regina Mills. That's it. So just the main actors there. Yeah.
I wouldn't mean anything. We saw all of them in the preview.
Yeah.
We do have that preview right here. So I'm going to play the audio, and we're going to do the ABC promo first, and then a much more revealing but very low-quality Canadian promo. And then we'll talk about it.
This past season, we went from Neverland to Oz, the Big Apple back home to Storybrooke.
It's like a fairy tale.
All leading up to a spellbinding season finale.
Aren't you a real Prince Charming?
So big.
I've got this.
So grand.
What have you done?
So surprising.
She dies tonight.
And in the final minutes, find out where we're going to next. Once Upon a Time, 2-hour season finale starts next Sunday, 8, 7 Central on ABC.
So we are going to discover where we will go next, says the voiceover. And, well, that's obviously an indication that there will be a fourth season. Hip, hip, hooray. And we've got Kate in the chat room confirming that Adam, one of the writers, has told TV Guide that Zelina might come back in season 4. And then she is on the first part of the finale. So she is alive. He's alive. I'm going to play the Canadian promo right after this, and then we'll talk about it for a few more minutes.
You defeated the Bloody Wicked Witch. You defeated Pan. You broke the curse. What are you looking for?
Home. CTV next Sunday.
Ding dong.
This is really...
Oh, yeah?
Grandpa? Look. What is that?
That is from Zelina's time portal. It's over.
Don't miss the Wicked 2-hour season finale. Once Upon a Time, at a special time.
So, in this Canadian promo, you can actually hear them talk about the Zelina's portal. So, it is definitely still referencing her. Although the portal, of course, could also just be that thing that is activated at the end of this episode. So, predictions for the finale. And we're going to keep this very brief because, of course, the finale is going to be so different from what we expect it to be. But could be a good two.
Well, in the preview, we saw Emma dancing in a ball gown in the Enchanted Forest with Hook. And at a glance, it looked like Hook didn't have his pirate look on his face, the heavy, dark eyeliner. And he was in a different clothing even. So first I thought, well, maybe, you know, they did go back in time and have changed, you know, they've changed the future and something's different in Emma State and Hook is there and it's going to be this new future. But then when I saw the Canadian preview and I really get the feeling that whatever, the, however they started, Emma and Hook are going to get sucked into this red tornado swirling portal that's been opened, and they're going to be in the Enchanted Forest. And in what scene, I don't know, because we see Regina as the Evil Queen. We see Emma dancing in this ball gown. We see Hook fighting. I couldn't tell if he had the pirate, the hook on his hand or not, but we see Emma talking to Rumpel, who is clearly the Dark One. So they're walking in the forest. What is it? Are they back way deep in the past?
Looks like it.
Looks like it. But, you know, if they really go back and back to the past, yeah, they might. That we might just see something really ancient. And then, of course, the big question is, can they change the past, or is it just destiny and you can't change destiny?
Well, maybe what she can't change, maybe Zelina can't change everybody from dying or not being born. Maybe she can go back and maybe she can't change, because we've said her, if she was born and her mother kept her mother would never have been able to marry Prince Henry. There wouldn't have been the scene with Ava tripping her and the king noticing her and her having to spin gold and making the deal with Rumpel. None of that would have come to pass. She'd have had a baby. Mm-hmm. She'd have gotten rid of that baby one way or the other, either fostered it off or been like Rumpel's father, you're holding me back, you're always holding me back, and fostered her off onto somebody else. And so maybe the mother fosters her off and still marries the prince and still has Regina. And where Emma and Hook go back is into wherever Zelina's making the change there. Instead of Regina never being born, Zelina is making Rumpel choose her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would put all the major players back there. But maybe Snow wasn't born because there's no Snow. And clearly Jennifer Goodwin's going to be given a break.
Yeah, but there was in the trailer, there was Snow being caught by Josh Dallas, Charming.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There was that. I'm sorry.
So they are clearly back in time because there are all kinds of flashes of things we have already seen.
Uh-huh.
So, but my thing is, so maybe Zelina wanted to step into the portal, and it seems that only Hook and Emma are in the portal. So they are the only ones who went back in time.
So,
not the others.
Could they potentially set up some kind of communication between, just like they did with, you know, Henry's dreams, between the realm of the past and the realm of the present day? Or that's going to be very interesting.
No, I think it's going to be more like your Back to the Future storyline. Uh-huh. I think they'll have gone back. Remember, in Back to the Future 2, they have to go. They go back into and the 1980s is all different.
Yep.
And so they have to go back again and don't meet your other self. But you've got to change one tiny little thing that skews the timelines. I think it's going to be that, and everybody else will
that
see.
That could be the
will
way.
Will be either a they'll either use a clip that was already filmed in season one for Snow.
That'd be cool.
Or they'll have to replay themselves. They'll basically reenact episode or season one.
That's difficult to replay
with
themselves.
Emma and Hook.
That I don't think that's going to work, replaying themselves, because they did age a little bit. We don't notice it, but over time they did change. But
didn't you say that they have written the entire script in advance, so it was already done?
No, they must know at least kind of the main markers of the story, so they know where they're going to end up. But usually it's just like rough lines. So I don't know. I was thinking this could be the explanation why Zelina can be back in the fourth season, because they go back in time, and of course that can you know, they can change the past so that Rumpel makes a different choice. I don't know. But how will they make it visually interesting? Because they can't do the Back to the Future rehash thing for more than one episode. It's going to be boring.
Yeah, what I think is, so only Hook and Emma are in the past. And remember that Zelina designed the spell or the curse for her and Gold to go back. So what if the portal closes after two people?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the hat and the Mad Hatter?
Oh, yeah.
Went through, and so the portal closes. So Zelina's. It's Zelina's portal, but Zelina did not go through the portal to change the history.
Yeah.
But the fact that Emma and Hook are in the history, because they are there and do things, they will change the future, because the mere fact that they are there. So. And yeah. I think maybe that can mess things up.
So the first episode...
We're forgetting something.
Yeah?
We're forgetting the fact that the Knave of Hearts has already been confirmed to be in this final season. I mean, this final episode. And that he's going to be in season 4. They've already confirmed that.
Who?
Since we're talking spoilers.
Yeah.
So how would the Knave of Hearts come into play?
He was one of the Merry Men.
Oh, okay.
The Knave of Hearts.
Oh, you're right. Will Scarlet.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
It is definitely going to be good, but we need to start wrapping up this episode, because otherwise we'll be still talking while the finale is on TV. We don't want to have that to happen. But make sure to join us next week, probably, for our discussion of the season finale. And in the meantime, you can find previous and future episodes on sqpn.com. And the subsite for this show is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. Thank you for listening, and see you soon.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.